Thank you again so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Now, you may already know, but I actually just created my own course called the Create Your Own Podcast course, which will lead you step by step through creating your own podcast. In that, I talk about Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors too, so you can get paid to podcast. If you've ever thought about starting your own podcast, go watch that course and create an account on Anchor. I promise you wouldn't have an easier process than creating your account with Anchor. So, thank you so much again for listening to this episode of the podcast, and I'll see you guys next time. Hey everyone, what is up? My name is Tony McGeehee, and you're listening to Emerging Entrepreneurs, the podcast made by an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get started. Welcome back to episode 22. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome home. You guys are awesome. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving with your family and friends. Spencer Elliott and Patrick Van Dusen are the founders of Beyond 360, a media company that focuses on creating 3D virtual tours for its clients. In this episode, we dive into Spencer and Patrick's journey thus far with Beyond 360, as well as their individual entrepreneurial journeys before they met just a few months back. Also, Spencer and Patrick talk about ViewStub, a new company they recently started that is a video streaming platform that pays users for posting their own content. Patrick and Spencer have a lot of knowledge between the two of them as solopreneurs and from working as a team, so be sure to listen to the full interview. Please leave a review and subscribe on iTunes and share the podcast with your friends. Also, please go follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Now, without further ado, let's jump right in. Welcome back to Emerging Entrepreneurs, everyone. Today, I am here with Spencer and Patrick from Beyond 360, a company that does 3D virtual tours as well as 360 video live streaming. Spencer and Patrick, thank you guys so much for being here.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. Also, forgot to mention ViewStub as well, which is a video platform that allows users to post their videos and make money while doing so. So just to start out, Spencer and Patrick, go ahead, talk a little bit about each of you guys selves, kind of how you guys met, and then kind of how you guys grew up individually, and how you guys met up, and how this idea came to be.
Awesome. Do you want me to go first? Okay. So this is Spencer Elliott here. I was born and raised in Orlando, Florida, so I'm pretty proud of that. Being here, starting our company here, it means a lot to me. Being in the background of UCF, which is where I ended up going to my undergrad and graduated with a degree in marketing. And then went on to study at UF as well and got a master's in business there. I've always dabbled in entrepreneurship with startups and other things in my early career, but then worked in the corporate environment for about 4 years for a company that was recently sold for $1.5 billion. So I wish I had a part of that, but definitely was bit by the entrepreneur bug early. I always had jobs through college, always paid my way through college, and ended up not having any debt out of school. So definitely, you know, I've been trying to do this for a long time, and this is the year that we kind of jumped out and said, okay, this is going to be what we're going to do forever, and it's been a great learning process so far. And then I guess we can talk about when we met, which was earlier this year. I was going through the Starter Studio Accelerator with a different company name, but a very similar concept. And Patrick was in the audience and had recently moved here. And he said, I'm working on the same idea. And so we said, well, let's join forces.
That's sweet.
and that was it. And then we both, I think, were kind of, you know how they say founder dating. So we were both, you know, going back and forth, like, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? But it certainly has worked. And
we're having a kid.
Yep. And our kid is ViewStub.
Yeah.
So.
I'm new to Florida, so I just moved here a year ago.
Okay.
And from Virginia Beach, had a company before this for 3 years. I was able to grow while getting my bachelor's in business, and I was able to sell it off to another company that was growing at the same time, and then I decided to move down to Florida, and I had a huge interest in connecting people and 360 video. So then that's how this came about.
Gotcha. Yeah. So with Beyond 360, why did you guys choose that? That's such a random thing to choose. What made you want to choose, other than 360 video, I kind of get that, because, you know, those are becoming bigger and bigger every day. I feel like you see them more and more on the internet and social media and everything like that. How'd you guys get into, like, the 3D virtual tours and everything like that?
How did we get into that, Patrick?
Well, before we met, I bought a 360 camera, and I thought it was really cool. And then I was like, huh, I wonder how I can make money with it. And then I saw this, like, virtual tour, like, surfing the web on how to make money with cameras. So then I found, like, the software on how to do the virtual tour. And then I was like, oh, my God, real estates will love this, you know, not knowing anything. So then that's how it started, tried going out and do virtual tours with 360 cameras. So.
That's right. Yeah, I think we started with the 360 photo virtual tours. Mm-hmm. And then we were upgrading our technology.
Where you just, like, pan around the room or whatever.
Yeah, and the camera is really cool, because neither one of us would probably say that we're videographers or photographers or have any skill in that department at all, but the best thing about a 360 camera is you can put it in the middle of the room, go hide behind the wall, take a picture remotely, and it takes the whole entire picture for you. So you don't have to point it, you don't have to aim it. As long as you have the right height, I think then you're okay.
Yeah.
So that made it really easy for us to jump into the industry. But in terms of the 3D virtual tours, it was more of a need, because a lot of our clients were higher end or had commercial properties and needed to have more than just photos. And so those types of 3D models are really great when you want to walk through a space, or you want to see distances, or you need a CAD drawing made of the space, those types of things.
Gotcha.
And so it's kind of an evolution.
Gotcha. So one, who are your guys' clients? And then two, after you answer that, for the virtual tours, how do you guys go about creating those with the 360 camera? Is it just a matter of setting it in different locations further and further into whatever space that you're doing it, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right?
Yeah, so the ideal client would be like a real estate agent, like a wedding venue, like any kind of attraction that people want to go and check out beforehand. You also have, like, restaurants, other types of venues that are trying to book the venues, or with restaurants for, like, your Google tours, because you rank higher on Google by 35% higher just by having a Google tour going inside, like, your restaurant or retail store or office space, so which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And then as far as doing the tours, yeah, you pretty much do it, like, room by room, unless it's, like, a big room. So, like, we're sitting in a room probably, like, 10 by 10, and you would just take a picture in here, and then go to the next room, take a picture, and then take a picture. And then down the hallway, you would probably go, like, every 8 to 10 feet. And then on a software, you just put all the – you upload all the pictures in there, and then you would have to connect them in a sequence, and then, you know, arrow them out so, you could navigate through it virtually.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you look at this office, for instance, on Google Maps, you'll be able to walk through the entire office from the front door all the way to the kitchen, go in everyone's office, and look around as if you were there, you know, in what people call virtual reality. So,
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice. So a lot of the people that I've interviewed have just been solo entrepreneurs. So talk about what are some of the benefits and what are some of the challenges that you guys face as partners in the entrepreneurial journey?
I mean, the benefits was, like, we could join forces on, like, our skills, and then as well as move faster, and then as well as connect resources. Like, I may know some people, or I may have this connection, or he may know some people or have that connection or have this resource that we can use. So it's like, you know, it's doubling, you know, your potential. And, you know, really, and then support as well, like hard days, and then as well as, you know, different angles to look at things. There's a lot of benefits. As far as cons, maybe just clashing heads on vision, like creating something, because, of course, you know, everyone in their own mind has their own ego, and then everyone in the world has how they picture their perspective on how to do something. So, of course, when you have to include other people, it can't always go your way. So it's like a relationship, like, you know, with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you kind of have to compromise to make it work, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, like, back to the dating thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're engaged, I guess. We're going to have a kid, yeah.
You got to compromise.
Exactly.
And so we've definitely learned compromise. We've definitely learned, like he mentioned, the differing perspectives, to value those perspectives. And, you know, and to kind of quote one of our mentors, you know, it's not about having an ego, it's about having confidence. And so I think we both have confidence that, you know, we know what we want and how we're going to get there, but not having an ego and saying that there's only one way to get there. And so we've been adapting every step of the way, and that's been part of our mentality going forward. And so we've learned that, I think, from working together, because there has been times when we couldn't come up with a solution, right? And yeah. we'd have to sit on it and wait, and then, you know, one of us would realize, I'm probably wrong, you know? And then so we come back and we have a conversation about it, and then we come up with a compromise. And it might be a little bit of this and a lot of that, but it ends up being something that works for us. And then we keep moving, because there's something to be said about a paralysis by analysis.
Yeah,
and so
for sure.
We did that a lot in the beginning. It was a lot of analysis, and then we'd freeze because we wouldn't know which way to go.
Yeah.
Now it's pull the trigger, you know what I mean? Deal with the consequences after.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. So I feel like, especially in today's society with entrepreneurs who are just starting their companies and things like that, something that's a really big focus, other than kind of their why, I guess that's not really the right thing to say here, but kind of like their mission and how they're going to connect people with whatever it is that they're doing and how they're helping people with their business. So from the outside looking in, it's very easy to look at what you guys do and just think, oh, well, they just create, you know, 3D virtual tours that, you know, that kind of helps people, I guess. So in your guys' minds with Beyond 360, how are you guys helping connect people? And if you feel like you're not doing that to the fullest extent yet, how do you plan to do that in the future?
I can touch on that. We certainly want to help connect people. So whether it's, you know, your grandma can't come to your wedding, that was kind of an initial thing that we were thinking, is we can help, you know, bring people that are, you know, either immobilized or long distance and can't afford to travel to these types of events so they can experience the same types of things. So maybe you can't afford a $300 ticket to XYZ conference, or but maybe you only want to pay for the keynote. And so you're able to pay for the keynote and you're able to immediately access the event, but you won't have to travel. You don't have to pay for a hotel. You don't have to take off work. So that's where we thought, you know, we were kind of giving back. But then we were trying to incorporate a donation aspect to our platform. And we still are. It's not fully fledged out, but we definitely want to have a way for people to either sponsor creators or to do other things in terms of, you know, sponsoring projects that we publish and other initiatives through ViewStub. So. Yeah, we also try to do things as a company, and I think that's where we're going to try to do most of our giving back is, you know, hiring with this company called Playground City, where they help students in underserved areas to partner with companies so that they can learn on-the-job skills and training in leading industries like this one, emerging industries. So we're trying to do a little bit more of the team aspect of giving back. Maybe the platform, you know, age-old adage is, you know, make your money first, then try to give it back. And so I think we're so focused on making this platform work that, you know, other things like will come up that we'll be able to give back with.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So let's transition to ViewStub a little bit. How did you guys come up with the idea for that, and what's the vision for ViewStub?
I think we were hitting our heads against the wall with Beyond 360, right?
Yeah, the demand and practicality on scaling a service-based business, as far as the potential for that, we wanted to make something that, you know, could reach anyone in the world, you know, that has access to technology. And we were doing a lot of events, like a lot of live streaming. We were doing like 360 promo videos for events. We're very event-based, so me and him love going to entrepreneur events or business seminars or networking events. So we decided, like, oh, there's actually a need for, like, we had one of the cameras, we're like, oh, we could live stream this. And then we live streamed it, and, you know, people were like, oh, wow, you know, a lot of people checked it out on the Facebook posts and stuff like that. And so we kind of had the idea of creating a better Facebook, but also where people can make money as well as get a bigger audience for their event, in-person event.
Yeah, he hit the nail on the head. We had a lot of frustrated nights ourselves trying to use other existing platforms, and then we talk to a lot of creators who are also very frustrated with being demonetized on YouTube, or, you know, only getting a percentage of what they thought they could make from their videos because of ads, you know, on their page, like, which we thought that was ludicrous. Like, no one likes ads anyway. Yeah. So why put ads all over other people's videos, then put similar videos next to your videos, trying to get them to go away from them? And it looks like YouTube has all the control, right? And yeah, we were thinking, why not give the control back to the creators?
Exactly.
Make it so that they can use our platform and make it so that they can make more money. You know, give us a cut, you know, rather than us give you a cut and, you know, give the advertisers a cut. Let's just do it the other way around. So that's how we're hopefully going to position ourselves way differently in the market and, you know, get a loyal following that way.
Gotcha. So with the monetization strategy there, how does that work? Is that based on the views that the creator gets on their video, or how do you guys know how that's going
to
work?
So the easiest way to think about it would be like a pay-per-view model. Right.
Okay.
And so essentially you can post whatever videos you want, whether they're live streams, whether they're 360 videos or from your smartphone. And, you know, we're looking for more of the professional creators. So the people that have valuable content, that know that it's worth something to be posting on our platform. And so those guys, you know, they're going to post it and it's going to be discounted, right, than attending in physical. Because normally if you want to go to like an $80 speaker, you know, if they can sell 1,000 of those online, they'll give a discount, right? And so this is potentially going to change the way that you attend events, you know, with virtual reality headsets and things like that. You're going to be able to have a full experience, you know, from your couch.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of where we're going with it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to separate you two guys now. Patrick, I know you talked about you had a business before that you sold off before you moved down here to Florida. Could you talk about that a little bit? What was that and what did it look like? And kind of how has that set you up for success now with Beyond 360?
So it started off as I was always into like motors and cars and four-wheelers and, you know, racing, all that kind of stuff, and, you know, getting in trouble. And so I started off as, like, tearing apart weed whackers when I was, like, 10 or 11 years old, just off the street and figuring out how they work. And then I think around, like, 18 or... I always used to, like, cut grass in my neighborhood when I was younger before I could drive. And then I did kind of other, like, little side hustles. And then around 19, I had, like, a couple pieces of lawn equipment. And then I landed, my friend's mom worked at this commercial property that was like, hey, we need our grass cut like as soon as possible. And I was like, and they wanted to give me a bunch of money, and I was like, sure. And I went over there and cut it, and then they were like, you want to come back and cut every week for this price? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And then so, and then I was doing like two other people's yards. I was doing like a family member's yard. And then it happened, I just started buying equipment, and then I just started picking up. And then it grew to like a big, like I had like a lot of weekly accounts. And then it started doing like side jobs, like, you know, landscaping jobs and stuff like that. And then last year I graduated college and I was like, I don't really want to do this anymore. I want to do something more exciting. And because I was doing it for like 3 years, I was kind of getting bored. And then someone that was starting a lawn care company had like half as many clients as me, and I told him I'd sell all my contracts. So we went and bought all my contracts, and then I sold off all my equipment. And then, but as far as like success, really just going out there and doing it, really just being in the like the mindset of just like being in control of your income and really just putting the people first and like staying focused on what you can do for the person and not like getting too sidetracked, but you know, the quality that you bring, maintain relationships, and that's pretty much like, and then I loved it. So
yeah, exactly.
I did every aspect though. Like I did like,
wow.
I got new clients, managing like the phones and the books, and then like the equipment, like repairs on the equipment, like budgeting. So I did everything. So I learned everything. Yeah.
Did you have employees that you had hired by the end?
Like one, I had one guy that would work for me like every other week, help me with like a, it was between like three people actually.
Okay.
But like out of those three people, if I needed help, like one day I had to do like 10 yards in one day and I knew I couldn't get them all done by myself, or I'd be out till like 9 o'clock at night. I'd be like, hey, you want to come weed whack for me for like $12.50 an hour? And they'd be like, sure, I'm not doing anything. And then they'd come meet up with me. And then so I got a little taste of like managing like employees. as well, which was really cool. So
before that, did you ever picture yourself really being an entrepreneur or doing that as a career, or was that really like your first taste, and then after you sold that off, you kind of knew that that's the road you wanted to go on?
No, that started when I was like 13, 14.
Okay.
When I was like buying like four-wheelers and go-karts and stuff, and I would buy them and fix them and then try and sell them for more.
Yeah.
And then when I got my license, I was buying and selling cars. So like, I think I flipped, I think probably about like 24 cars out of the 28 cars that I've had.
Wow.
So I started buying, and then it all started with like tires and rims. I'd buy like tires and rims for my car. So I'd have like a garage of like 10 sets of tires and rims and lift kits and lowering kits and like motors. And then I did that up till last year. And then I was also, I bought a sticker machine. So I had like a couple of clients, a couple of retail stores. I'll do stickers, like order like 400 at a time. And I'll do that on the side. So like, I don't know, I was just always just like doing stuff on the side.
Nice. Sweet.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Nice. All
right. Patrick still has another business right now as well.
I have another business that I'm trying to sell. It's just a self-employed business, like a vending route. It's like cell phone accessories with like display cases. I put them in like retail places and then they sell it. I'll come around and restock them.
Okay.
I'm looking at getting out of that. So.
He's a hustler, baby.
Yeah, side hustle to the max right there.
Yeah. Well, there's more in there, but I bet. I don't want to like fill it up. So. But those are the main ones. Those are the main ones for
sure. Gotcha. All right, so Spencer, let's transition to you. You had talked that you were doing Beyond 360 for a little while before you had met Patrick. So kind of talk about that time that you were doing Beyond 360 before you and Patrick met and he joined the team, and then what you were doing before that and kind of how you got started in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, absolutely. The company that I had was actually called X-Stream, which I realize is the dumbest thing ever, you know, because it sounds like a adult website. So it was Extreme Live. And one of my coworkers gave me that name. He's like, oh, it's Extreme, you know, and you're going to stream. And, you know, we loved it. But then after getting a lot of feedback, I found out that wasn't the best idea. And Patrick's company was called Avernex.
Yeah, I don't know why I named it that. I just thought it was a cool name.
But he had the .com and stuff, so it was pretty awesome. And I think we used the logo from Avernex. But it was a few weeks before I met Patrick, maybe like 6 weeks that I had started this. So it wasn't very long, and I'm sure he started around the same time. And that was just this year. I mean, we've created Beyond 360, which owns ViewStub, all in the last 9-10 months. I mean, it's been less than that as a combined group.
Yeah.
There's only, you know, a month and a half left of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at my corporate job up until this beginning of this year. How far would you like me to go back? This year?
No. Just talk about, you know, your journey as an entrepreneur and and everything like that.
Yeah. Okay. So I was kind of like Patrick. I had landscaping as well when I was in middle school and high school with my friend. And I remember there was a Hurricane Charlie, and it kind of devastated our neighborhood. And so we went around with chainsaws, and we didn't charge anyone, but we learned how to use chainsaws, right? And then so from then on, we started, you know, offering to cut down people's, you know, longer branches and on their houses. And then that turned into, hey, we can also mow your lawn. And it wasn't as big as Patrick's. I mean, we just did our neighborhood, and it was really small. But that kind of taught me how to work for money. And then so I think I mentioned it earlier, I always had jobs. You know, I worked at a skate shop, and I worked at the Christmas tree farm. And then I worked, you know, everywhere else in between in terms of, like, serving and stuff like that. But my entrepreneurial bug really started in college. I had a small marketing business. And so what I would do is I would go around to these small local businesses and say, hey, you know, I see that you don't have a real, and this is when like Google business listings were just coming out, you know, and I think Yelp came on the scene a little bit later, like Facebook pages weren't really popular for businesses.
Yeah.
And so I went around, I said, hey, I can make one for you, no problem, you know, and I'll set it up and it'll be $100, right? And they're like, oh yeah, no problem. Okay, well, if you also want this, it's $100. If you also want this, it's $100. And then so I would get, like, a menu going, right? And so I kind of, like, show it to them. And they'd normally buy 5 or 6 things. And then I'd tell them, you know, and if you want, like, a monthly, you know, me to post for you monthly and maintain everything, I can do that for, like, $50, you know, a month. And then I had had plans. So I would say, like, you can get 2 posts for $50, you can get 4 posts for $100. And I was kind of growing it that way. And that worked pretty well. I mean, I didn't have any expenses or anything, so I wasn't really trying to grow a business to thrive, you know, kind of like we are now. But it was fun, you know, and I enjoyed it. And I was kind of using that money as well in school, like trying to pay for books. Mm-hmm. And everything kind of led up to graduating from college. I had worked for some startups as interns during my schooling, and then right when I graduated, I worked for a company in the UCF incubator that my professor was running, and it was called Learn Everywhere. And that was the first startup experience that I had with mm-hmm. working for like a funded, you know, group of guys who had already built a product. And you know, I wasn't in the founding group, but you know, I came on later.
Yeah.
And so that was a cool experience because it really showed me how incubators work. It really showed me how the investment world is, showed me how I should act as a leader, you know, from seeing some of the guys on the team. And unfortunately, that business wasn't able to last. I think someone's kind of rejuvenating it now, but I decided to go on to other things and ended up working for another startup. But that's when my friends were telling me, hey, come work for this corporate giant over here that's growing at 25% year-over-year growth. And I said, well, that sounds great because it's kind of like a startup, right? So they're still young and, you know, they're a private company. So mm-hmm. I thought, I'll go jump in there and they'll be spending a ton of money. And, you know, I'll feel like I'm in a startup again.
What company was that, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure, it's called TravelClick.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I worked there for 4 years off and on. So I left the first time to go get my master's, and then I came back and worked for them again afterwards because that's when I found out that my wife was pregnant and we wanted to stay in Orlando, and I didn't really find any better options after looking around in terms of stable income that I knew I would need for about a year and a half, and that's what I did. So I went back. They were open arms, took me back, and I worked there for as long as I could before I started itching again to get back out, and now here we are. So I've kind of always wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I know for you, Patrick, since you just said, you know, you have a wife and a kid, Patrick, I don't know about you, but how is it
that he knows about?
Yeah. Oh, God. So especially for you, Spencer, how was the adjustment going from a corporate job to saying, hey, honey, look, I'm going to go do this because this is what I really believe in. And this is really what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, you have a wife, you have a kid. What does that look like in a relationship like that? And
It was very hard. It was very hard. My wife was new to her career. We both graduated the same month from UF. And so she was new to her career, had to take maternity leave. So we didn't have a lot of savings at the time. And so I really focused on, you know, making sure that I had a little bit of a back buffer or nest egg whenever I did leave. But it was like 8 months that I stayed at TravelClick knowing that I wanted to leave. And so it wasn't an immediate thing. It was something that we kind of worked ourselves up to. Mm-hmm. And I kept, you know, alluding to it. And she'd say, no, we're not ready. And I'd say, okay, I'll wait a little bit longer. And I was kind of working on the idea on the side and was actually doing some other, like, side hustles like Patrick was talking about. But they say, you know, entrepreneurs are crazy enough to leave a 40-hour work week to work 80.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's kind of what I did. I, you know, I had a cushion job and I had benefits and, you know, it was easy to leave work at work and not bring it home with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, probably anyone would love to have that job. Right. But I'm just that crazy person who was like, why am I, you know, sitting here at this desk when I could be sitting at a desk over here on the other side of town by myself. So, it's really just, if you feel that that's what you should be doing, then you should probably try to do that. And I think that's more than just entrepreneurship. If you feel that about anything in life, you really only have a finite amount of years to put towards something. And so you should probably just start doing that now. It's probably going to be rough. Like, it's been rough for us this whole year. But we're looking at the long-term vision and our happiness. I think, right, Patrick? I mean, this isn't about succeeding tomorrow. It's more about building our lifestyle and the lifestyle that we want and, like, being a part of a culture that we want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Right? And so.
Exactly. All right. So I have just a couple more questions for you guys. First of all, for anybody who's an entrepreneur, who has an idea and they're trying to get started, they're not really sure what to do, and, you know, they're just starting, what advice would you have for them?
For me, it would be maybe go on, like, Udemy.com and maybe look at, like, courses on, like, freelancing gigs. Like, for instance, like, Facebook marketing or social media management or something like that. Or getting, like, an internship for, like, a company that's something you have interest in. And then as well as, like, looking, as while you're learning, looking at, like, the industry and, like, what people are talking about. And if there you see, like, opportunity maybe doing the same thing that you're doing, or maybe you see, like, a new opportunity that you could, like, twist your skill in and kind of, like, take off and form something.
Yeah, because I personally dabbled in a few other industries before I kind of chose one.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what college can do for you as well. If you haven't been through school, like in your most basic classes that you take in the first few years, they're going to introduce you to finance, they're going to introduce you to marketing, and you're going to take, you know, other courses in sports business management or whatever it is. And you might decide, like, hey, I really enjoy sales. And although you might not see the career at this point, you should probably just start doing things in that direction.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the big things that Patrick and I always talk about is that we don't know where we're going to necessarily end up, but we always try to plan like the next couple miles. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we might see an interesting turnoff and we'll go that way if we decide that, you know, we don't want to keep going on that straight path. And so I think that's really the mindset that you should have is, you know, hey, I want to go in this direction. Like, don't try to plan out your whole life. Right.
Yeah.
But just, you know, take a little bit of a risk. See if you can, like he said, you know, jump into an internship or, you know, maybe just try to do it on the side. If you do have another job, like full time, I knew a ton of guys that worked at TravelClick that built their businesses at night. And then when they were big enough, they kind of left TravelClick and took on, you know, the whole behemoth by themselves. But there's a ton of different ways to do it.
Yeah.
And it's all about leveraging resources. Right. And so everyone has resources, even if they don't know about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be your own human capital. But really, there's a lot of programs out there that are specifically designed to help entrepreneurs and to spark economic development.
Yeah.
in most regions. So wherever you are, try to find help, because you can't do it by yourself. You just can't. I mean, unless it's a small business, but you probably should try to find mentors. I think mentors are really huge for us that have helped us. Because you need those differing perspectives. Like, you might think you know everything, but I guarantee you don't, right? And that's the thing. So you really need to just go into it being humble and kind of saying, like, hey, this is what I want to do. And that, actually, I'll stop with that, because that's what I tell other people that I speak to about this topic is voice it, right? Just because you say you're going to do something in your head, you're not held accountable except to yourself, right? So if you start telling your friends and family, hey, I'm going to start my own company. Hey, I want to leave and start my own company. Hey, I'm going to start my own company. Then next time you see them, they're going to ask you, hey, how's that company going?
Exactly.
Right? And then you're like, oh, I haven't done anything. And then they're going to say, well, you're not going to start it then. Right?
You're talking that smack.
Yeah, and you're going to feel some type of way about yourself, hopefully, you know, unless you have no, you know, ambition. But you're going to be like, okay, that's what I needed, that kick in the butt, right? And so that's the first thing I tell people is tell other people.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just start talking about it.
For sure. All right, so one last question. Before I ask you guys that, just want to say thank you so much for inviting me into the office here to do this interview. Really enjoyed learning more about what you guys do with Beyond 360. I think it's great that you guys are going to be helping people with the platform and, you know, just all the people that you're helping. Thanks for inviting me a couple weeks ago, playing some ping pong with me. Always a good time.
Absolutely.
Stop by anytime.
Yeah.
We're addicted.
Yeah. So, one last question for you guys, for each of you to answer separately. And it's one that I do every episode. It's called The Three Truths.
Okay.
So, basically, it's just a hypothetical scenario where it's your last day on Earth. And at the end of this last day, you know, you've accomplished everything that you've ever wanted to. And you know, all the goals that you set for yourself, you've accomplished them. You've helped all the people that you wanted to help. Beyond 360 has grown into something massive. And everything that you guys wanted to create, any business ideas that you had, they've been successful, everything like that. You know, you've just accomplished everything you wanted to do. But at the end of your last day, for some reason, everything's wiped away. And nobody has anything to remember you by except for the three things that you write down on the piece of paper next to you. So what are your guys' three truths?
Is this kind of like quotes? Like
anything you believe to be true. Like it could be like and, you know, things that you believe in. It could be
so
quotes.
I can go first and let you think about it, because I've been kind of working on this lately anyway. So, and I don't know if this is the answer you're looking for, but the three things that I chose for myself recently to focus on in terms of my long-term growth as a leader have been the first one being a connector. Right, so I want to connect people, I want to connect ideas, I want to, you know, be that type of person that people can depend on without looking for anything in return. And I've been trying to do that every day, just, you know, hey, you should talk to this person, or hey, you know, this person can help you, or you should go out and look for this resource, just because people do that for me, and I want to do that for other people as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so that's one thing I would like to be remembered by, is a connector. The second one is a creator. So I want to create jobs. I want to create opportunities. I want to create companies. I want to create revenue. I want to create joy. I just want to create things, right? So
mm-hmm.
I want to be a creator. And then the third one would be innovator. So I don't want to just create things that have already been created before, right? So I want to create new things. I want to look towards the future. I want to be a visionary. Those are my three pillars to success that I've been trying to implement in my daily routine. And so that was kind of an easy answer for me, just because I'm thinking about that daily.
Yeah.
But hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, for sure.
My three things? Oh, that's hard to back up.
No, they don't have to be like that. I've been working on mine, so I cheat.
You're good.
My three things would be how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah.
Hey,
sure. Yeah, he's been telling me that since day one. That's a motto that he lives by.
Yeah, and then another one is don't think, just go. So don't sit there and just think about it. Just keep going, because there's always a way. And the third thing would be to, kind of like piggyback off, like kind of connecting, would be to positively impact people, whether you could help someone around you or teach someone new and like push them to their limits to reach their next level with the challenge.
Yeah.
And then, or even if like you're having a bad day, you could do something as simple as like call like your family member or call like an old friend and just ask them how they're doing and just say like, hey, like, wow, like you've been doing this, like that's awesome, like let me know if you want to keep staying in touch and stuff like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This was a great interview. Really appreciate you guys being on the show, and guys, we will see you on the next episode.
Awesome. Right. Thank you.
I hope you all enjoyed that interview as much as I did. Spencer and Patrick are two great guys to be around, and I always have a blast with them whenever I see them. Be sure to check out Beyond 360 online at www.beyond360media.com and on social media at Beyond 360 Media. Christmas is coming up soon, so be sure to show someone how much you appreciate them, or even treat yourself by getting a great book at www.audibletrial.com/emerge. Best part about this gift, it's free, guys. Make sure to head to my link, audibletrial.com/emerge, and create your account today. Please, if you've enjoyed the podcast thus far, leave a rating and review on iTunes. It would mean a lot to me. If you haven't already, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Thank you again so much for tuning in to this episode of Emerging Entrepreneurs. Now, it's your time to emerge.